Hello, I'm Carol Carman, and I'd like to welcome you to number 6 in an occasional series of podcasts from Grunty Fennery, home of all things Dennis of Grunty Fen. Please do visit the website dennisofgruntyfen.co.uk to learn more about Grunty Fen, and visit the online shop for recordings, books, maps and cards. Later, we'll be hearing an episode of Dennis from 1991. But first, Mr. South has a seasonal message for us.
May I begin by doing the obvious and wishing you all not only a very happy Christmas, but a good new year as well. At this time of year, I don't know, I always, perhaps we all do, think about the past rather than the future. We don't think about what the year's going to hold, the year ahead. We think about Christmas's past. And for me, it's a sort of mixed experience of happiness and a certain sort of wistfulness, because for years, my Christmas always involved a visit to Dennis at Grunty Fen. I don't get there so much anymore, although the people who live at Grunty Fen are still very kind to me. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And may I say how apologetic I am that the tennis club that you hope to join doesn't exist. I do apologise for that. Anyway, I think about those visits to Grunty Fen, and it was wonderful. I remember my boyhood Christmases with very great joy. I was brought up at a time when it was war and people didn't have much money, and even if they had money, they couldn't buy anything because things were not there to be bought. But my parents did wonders in providing presents and that sort of thing. And curiously enough, that is what the people of Grunty Fen did, and I suspect still do. You could define them as people with very little, next to nothing. And maybe a lot of us this Christmas are having a reminder, the first time for decades, of what it's like to be a bit short of the ready. We all know about the dire economic circumstances. I don't want to rehearse the whole thing all over again. We all know what the political situation and the international situation is like. But we are having a taste of hard times to a degree. And to be honest, and I know this sounds a little brutal, but I don't think it'll do us any harm. In fact, I think it could even do us some good. Because what it does is teach us how you can have a very good time when you're just left to your own resources. Instead of thinking, what can I buy to make me happy? We're now beginning to say again, what can I do to make me happy? What can I do to please the children, even though I haven't got the money to buy the wonderful electronic ding-dong kit that they yearn for? And it's amazing what can be contrived. I remember Dennis once told me about one Christmas when he was in the Bull, the pub, and everybody was miserable. A whole lot of people came in, and they were all miserable for one reason or another. And they came in miserable and went away happy. And he said, and it's worth listening to Dennis sometimes, because although he gasses on in a rather rambly way, he sometimes stumbles on the truth. And he said, why was it that round about a couple of dozen of his friends and neighbours, very different people, came into the pub with a great burden of their personal miseries and went away happy? And he said the reason was themselves, that all they needed to be happy was other people. And you know, I mean, I know it sounds like a sermon, and forgive me, but there's tremendous truth in that, that, and I know you can't buy happiness, is generally agreed to be true. Although I must say, I have known quite well a few multimillionaires, and they didn't seem unhappy at all. I've known people with huge amount of money, and they were very happy. So it's foolish to say money doesn't buy you happiness, but it doesn't necessarily buy you happiness, and you can have happiness without money. So I'm going to recommend to you this Christmas that you just try to see how you can make do and mend and use old things and cheaper ingredients and meet together the way Dennis and his friends at Grunty Fen always did, and they managed to redeem themselves by just getting on with it, not moaning, not talking about how difficult things are, but just depending on one another to cheer one another up. This is the most sententious, pompous load of old garbage I've ever delivered on behalf of Grunty Fen, but I half mean it, and I hope you half believe it. Happy Christmas again.
So, here is that episode that Mr. South spoke about. Let's transport ourselves back to Christmas 1991, with Dennis and Mr. South in the old Wolseley Saloon, which, for obvious reasons, became known as the Hen Coop Car.
Fen Tigers got dewdrops on their nose. Fen Tigers got webs between their toes. Fen Tigers catch eel and grunt old fight. But blast that wind come off the fen, that'll blow you there and back again. Blast that wind come off the fen, that'll blow you off your bike.
Oh, thank you, Dennis. Well now, ready for Christmas?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Seasonal excitement mounting at Grunty Fen, eh?
Well, I had a slow start, but that show signs are living and happening.
Ah, good. Well, how about the shop? Has the trade been busy for Miss Edwards?
Oh, Miss Eve, her grotto, that's a masterpiece this year.
Really?
She ain't never had a better grotto, I don't reckon. See that glisten there under the 100-watt bulb, you know? Mm. People come down from the council houses of evening special just to look through the front window and gaze at that grotto under the 100-watt bulb, you know?
What's so special about her Christmas grotto this year?
Ah, well, that's the pyramid.
Pyramid?
Yeah, that's like a sort of Christmas tree.
Of what is this pyramid Christmas tree constructed?
Sinktoides.
Oh, sing, I might have guessed. Those enamel sinktoides with the blue rim. Yeah. She purchased 3 gross of them from a fast-talking young salesman, 10 years ago?
Yeah, she's hoping to shift a few this Christmas with... She's got a special offer on.
Oh, really?
She,
a special offer? Yeah. Yeah.
See, anyone want to buy a full round of sinktoides?
Full round? How many is that?
Well, 4, of course. A set of 4 make a full round, don't it? You know?
But who on earth needs 4 sinktoides?
Well, you need a few for best, don't you?
Best?
Well, when you got company comes, so... Yes. Suppose you have guests what's fussy eaters or something like that what leave a lot on his plates.
Yes, well.
Well, you need extra sinktoides sort of take the strain, you see, don't you?
I suppose so, if you say so. Well, I mean, what's this special offer?
Well, anyone what buy a full round of sinktoides,
yes.
Well, they get a box of Eat Me Dates.
Now, could anyone resist such an alluring special Christmas offer? Incidentally, a moment ago, what did you mean when you said Christmas at Grunty Fen had a slow start but showed signs of livening up?
That was last night up the bull.
Well, that's a friendly little pub, isn't it? What such a pleasant atmosphere.
Oh, that weren't all that friendly when I went in last night for me vimpter.
Really? Not friendly, the bull?
That bar was almost empty, you know. I thought there weren't no one in there at all. Then suddenly I hears these voices shouting, Darling.
Darling?
Dennis Darling.
Dennis Darling? Who's this? Who calls you... Oh, Maudy Dicks.
Oh, you got cloth ears. I didn't say voice. I said voices.
Voices. I've got it. I know who they were calling.
Honey Bright and Inigo Haycock.
Right. Yes, Honey Bright and Inigo Haycock. The retired butlin's red coat and her actor lodger. They're a cheery couple, aren't they?
It was a cheerful last night when they were sitting there side by side at the bar, you know.
Really?
Well, I tried to put a brave face on it. Hello, darling, they says. And Honey give her a kiss on me cheek. Oh, and that. She was all dressed up in pink, sort of satin suit, that were.
Really?
With a little hat made of knit and
yes.
that. And Inigo, he was wearing that sort of, I think they call it plum velvet suit, what he made himself,
made
you know.
His own suit, but Dennis,
they didn't fool me. They was down, missy. What's up, honey, I say. You can't fool me, something's wrong in it. She didn't say nothing. Inigo carried on writing some sort of list of his finger in the puddle, you
what
know.
What do you mean, puddle?
Well, they'd spilled some of this baby sham on the bar top.
Ah.
What's up, I say, honey. And she say, that's the panto.
Ah, yes, the panto. They were engaged to stage a panto at some theatre in the middle of the Potteries, wasn't it?
Yes,
somewhere in the Potteries. I remember you telling me what a great stroke of good fortune it was for Honey and Inigo. They've both been out of work for a while up to now, haven't they? This is their big chance, isn't it?
Was.
What do you mean, was?
Well, Honey say that's the panto.
Yes.
Oh, Inigo, he chip in. You could say we're unexpectedly available, he say.
Unexpectedly available?
Well, it's hard to understand what they're talking about in that sort of actor lingo it is, but far as I could tell, myself, Monty Levine.
Ah, Monty Levine, the impresario who engaged them to produce the panto,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, well, when this Mr. Levine suddenly called the whole thing off, you know.
Good heavens.
Cancelled everything just a couple of days ago at
work. But why?
Well, advance booking.
What about the advance booking?
There weren't none.
Oh, Dennis, how dreadful.
So Honey and Inigo will be spending Christmas back in this little asbestos Tudor bungalow on the scrap heap of life, he say. Miss Heathley was very, very down when I met my bull, you know. Inigo sort of trailing his fingers through that puddle of baby sham on the bar.
Yeah, you said he was writing some sort of a list in that puddle. What did you mean by list?
Well, that's what I asked him. He drew a big drag on that sort of fag what he had with that long sort of cigarette holder thing and what he smoked and that, and he said, hope springs eternal, my dear. Hope springs eternal. Never say die.
What did Inigo mean by that?
Well, missus, you know how Inigo make his living, such as it is, sort of writing verses for greeting cards?
Indeed, yes, I do.
He
write
hundreds and hundreds of sort of poems for Christmas cards and birthday cards.
Embarrassingly sentimental.
Yeah, well, he's so good at it that the firm what he do it for, he's done them enough to last for years and years, so they don't need him to write no more, you see, because he's dash them off so fast, you know. He's got a natural gift for it, you see.
But it's his own undoing. I mean, his only source of income has dried up now.
That's what he was writing in the baby sham on the bar.
What was he writing in the baby sham in the puddle on the bar?
Well, that were a list of new sort of cards and that.
What new cards?
Well, he was trying to dream up sort of cards for people what, you know, want to say something and can't say it sort of face to face, if you know what I mean.
I don't quite understand you. New sorts of greeting cards? I mean, such as?
Well, there's ones when you've got to say something like, your breath stink.
A card saying your Preston.
Yeah, well, see, no one dare tell anyone, but you could send a card with a nice little verse saying, your breath stink. That might make it a bit easier.
I can
see,
imagine, yes, flowers and your breath stink.
Yeah.
Any more cards apart from your breath stink?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, there's kindly stop your dog relieving itself by our gate. You know?
A card that you can send to people saying, kindly stop your dog relieving itself by our gate.
Honey, she called that a business card. I don't know what she meant by that, really.
Yeah, well, any more? Oh, cards, Dennis.
Please stop lighting a bonfire of a Sunday morning when the wind blow the smoke over your fence into me garden.
Yeah, well, that should lend itself to a really lovely little poem,
and then
there's
another one he thought of.
What?
Your daughter's got nits.
Your daughter's got nits?
Yeah, well, that should be easy to find a rhyme for nits.
Of course, yes. That's a real test, isn't it, of poetical inspiration, whether you've got a rhyme for it. Is that, those are all his ideas for new sorts of greeting cards.
No, there were more. Sorry to hear you got the sack.
Oh, that's a cheery one.
Old Inigo was just mentioning the sorry you got the sack card when Antoinette Claydon come in.
Oh, did she? Antoinette Claydon, the artistic lady who keeps the goats.
And the donkeys.
Yes, indeed, anyway, she
come in the ball and she hears that Inigo is saying about the cards, you see, and what he sent to people what's got the sack.
Yes.
And she say, well, you better send one of them to Alan Jeffries.
Alan Jeffries, the husband of...
My friend.
Mrs. Jeffries. What did she mean by sending a sorry you've been sacked card to Alan Jeffries?
Miss Heath, I knew there was something up with my Jeffries as soon as I noticed she started smelling the bacon again, you know.
Bacon? Mrs. Jeffries smelling the bacon?
Yeah, you can't shift it. Not if you work in a place like that, you know.
What do you mean a place like? What place?
Well, the Pine Bacon Factory.
Ah, I remember the place Mrs. Jeffries used to work in before she got married, the Pie and Bacon Factory.
Well, she give herself such sort of airs and graces now, but yeah, Miss C, she's a common as muck.
Oh, Tennessee.
She come from nowhere.
Her old dad
were a good old boy. Best beat hoe of the side Ely beat. He never had two apes to rub together, you know. Very poor family what she come from, Miss C. Very poor.
She worked in the personnel department of the factory, didn't she?
Only after she got herself accidentally locked in the cold store with that Alan.
Yeah, well, look, we don't need to go into all that all over again. No, Alan was an accountant at the pie factory, wasn't he? He was an accountant, I remember.
Yeah, well, she were in the egg and bacon pasties scene, you know. She were filling them when she met him.
Filling the egg and bacon pasties.
Right, wasn't it? Always very ambitious was our Brenda. She worked her way up from brains through faggots.
Now you're suggesting that she's smelling of bacon again.
Stick out of my oil, doesn't it? Alan's got the sack, so she's had to get her old job back again, hasn't she?
I see. Well,
he's in there sitting out of a morning, what she call her business suit, with that sort of white blouse thing, you know, with that bit of sort of lace down the front,
trying to make out
either she's executive or something like that.
Yeah.
We know, Miss Heath. We know better. She had to go back on the production line and take what she could. And she's had to go even lower than brains, Missy.
Lower than faggots and brains?
Even lower than brawn, Missy.
Dennis, to what depths has Mrs. Jeffries sunk in her search for a career?
Giblets.
Giblets, how are the mighty humble, Dennis.
And she still looked down her nose at me, what don't know no one so much as a brass farthing, and what ain't never been out of work in me life, Mrs.
Yes, well, you've never actually been in work either, have you, Dennis?
Well, no call for you to go splitting hairs.
Look, let's change the subject. I mean, let's change the subject, Dennis. I mean, it was handy, wasn't it, Antoinette Claydon turning up? They gave some cheery company for Honey and Inigo.
Not so you'd notice, really.
What do you mean?
Well, all Antoinette could talk about was how she's going to be all on her own for Christmas again, you know.
Oh dear, there don't seem to be many cheerful people in the ball last night, do they?
And even Rini, you know. She always put a damper on.
Rini the landlady?
Yeah. She was serving behind the bar, and you know, she's very strict religious, Miss Heath.
Yeah, I know.
Well, she's a Sabbatarian fundamentalist.
Yes, Rini's a very religious lady.
She hate the liquor. She never let alcohol pass her lips, you know. She call it fire water. Beverage old Beelzebub, she says.
It's funny, isn't it? She runs a pub.
Well, she married Stan, you see, and the pub come with him, so she had to put up with it. But every time she slide a point across the bar towards a customer and takes some money, she say, may the Lord forgive you, she says.
It's rather depressing, isn't it?
Miss Seuss, that's very depressing.
Well, didn't anybody cheer you up in the bull last night?
Well, one person did, Miss Seuss.
Oh, good. Who was that?
Well, we saw him first standing like a sort of silhouette in the doorway of the bullion.
Oh, come on, tell me who
he
was.
He moved forward. I never seen him look so clean, you know. But he were pale, Missus. Pale as Hamlet's father he were. And he cleared his slate, you know.
Who are we talking about,
Dennis? Just got off the bus from Ely's, and old Rini, she refused to serve him.
Why?
Well, she say, have you seen Sal yet, she say.
Dennis.
Old honey, you know, she handed him a glass of her
Dennis,
baby shams,
this
you know.
Is Slippery Sam.
Yeah.
Because
he said he needed a bracer. He downed that in one gulp, Miss Heath.
Slippery Sam is home from Bedford Jail for Christmas.
Yes, Miss Heath.
And he had a baby sham.
Well, he needed it before he could face Sal, you know. because, you know, I reckon they're going to have a hard time this Christmas because I ain't got no money and nor she, you know, and all them kids and that.
Well, I'm glad to hear he went straight after poor Sally because she's been deeply troubled, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, Dennis, good. Well, I'm glad at last we've arrived at a more or less cheerful note. Who else was in this gloomy assembly in the ball?
Well, old Woolly come in then, you know.
Ah, good. Your best chum, Woolly Woollard. Yeah. Was he any happier than the rest of the miserable assembly in the ball last night?
Well, he's having trouble with health, you know.
With his brother, yeah.
See, they've been falling out more than ever.
Oh, dear.
They sent each other to Coventry now.
Oh, Dennis, it's so silly, isn't it?
Well, see, they've divided the house in half so they don't have to meet and talk to each other.
Can't be easy. I mean, they live in that curious sloping house, and the one that's sinking into the fen. It's all lopsided and skew-whipped.
Yeah, Elf's got the high side, and Woolly's got the low side, and he's complaining, you
see.
Well, he says he's got the worst of it, because the low side's so damp.
Well, it would be, wouldn't it?
The drain's lapping round his oven.
Oh, dear.
And he say Elf's cats come swimming up his hall, and they pinched a whole packet of his savoury tartlets,
Savoury tartlets, everyone seems to have something to grouse about.
Even the Yanks was grousing, Missy.
The Yanks?
Yeah, James Lewis and Mona.
Yes, in the USAF. Yes, what's wrong with them?
Well, they got to go back to the USA, you know,
really?
And they don't want to go.
Oh.
Well, they like it here, you see. They blame old Gorbachev for being so peaceful and that. It's been the ruin of them.
Peace house?
Yeah, well, they was all right when the commies was going along nicely, but now they got to go back to the USA,
That's a rather perverse.
I shall miss him, you know. He used to fly over Granty Fen in them big Yankee bombers, and I used to wave up at him and go and bomb old Stalin, I'd shout up at him. I reckon he'd always wave down to me, you know.
Dennis, this sheer fantasy. Let's get back to the pub. Who else came into the bull to have a moon?
George Robinson.
Ah, George Robinson, the Ukrainian refugee shepherd.
Oh, George had the first smile we seen in the bull that evening, you know.
Really?
Well, he had this letter from his brother, you know.
He's in the Ukraine?
Yeah, saying there was a fair chance they could get their hands on the family farm again if he could come home, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't seen his family for, well, he must be the best part of half a century.
Sooth. He may not have seen it with his eyes open, you know. But he tell me he see that little farm in his dreams most nights, you know. He remember the last time he saw it, with them sort of hay rakes all leaning in a row on the end of the barn, and his mother coming across the field with a can of tea.
Oh, Dennis. Now he's got a chance to go back.
Trouble is...
What?
Trouble is, he ain't got the money.
Oh.
See, old Salt Marsh.
Farmer Salt Marsh, he works
He never
for.
Paid him more than a sort of pittance, I suppose you say. He never saved. He spent all his wages on beer and whiskey, get blind drunk for Saturday, you know. Many's the time I had to take him back to his little old nesting hut in Barrow for Saturday night.
You know, one way and another, there was a really miserable crowd building up in the ball by then, wasn't there, last night? All weeping on one another's shoulders for one reason or another. Honey Bright, Inigo, Antoinette Claydon, Woolly Woollarding, and as for Stan and Reenie behind
and
the bar.
And James Lewis and Mona.
Americans, yes. Yes,
Ernie Potts come in and
oh,
all,
Ernie
you know?
Potts from the garage.
Yeah, well, he's getting fatter and fatter. That's his wife, you see.
What do you mean, his wife makes him fat?
Well, she cooked for seven, and there's only the two of them. Now the kids are gone and that. Because she's a wonderful cook, Michelle. But she can't get out the habit of cooking for seven. And if there's any left after a meal, she take offence and she say, what's wrong with it then? So poor old Ernie, he had to eat everything up, you know. So he gets the rough side of her tongue.
That's why he's getting so fat.
Staff myself rigid, he say, when he come in the book.
Oh,
she's trying to kill you, I reckon, says old Woodworm.
Woodworm.
You know, the tractor driver, Caterpillar tractor driver, what I told you about before.
Yeah, I remember now, yeah.
Well, all three of them went in there. With Woodworm, Diesel and Lurcher.
Yeah, I remember them now. Woodworm, Diesel and Lurcher. That's their CB radio call signs, isn't it? They spend most of the day out in the middle of the fen fields chatting to one another over their CB radios in their cabs.
Well, see, they've got their own sort of language in there. That's what you might call a code, you see.
Yeah, what is this code?
Well, they often say bog.
Bog?
B-O-G, yeah.
B-O-G?
Yeah, well, that's short for big old gal. That's what they say when they see a great big old fen gal riding a bike past his field, you know.
Can you remember any more of their code?
Sometimes they have them sort of shooting parties what come out.
Oh, yes.
Well, a few of them about this time of year.
Smart gentlemen come.
Yeah, when they're at work and they'll say, HRH.
HRH? Do you mean Prince Charles sometimes comes shooting? His Royal Highness? Mm. I'd have thought he'd have been at Sandringham or Balmoral.
No. When they see a shooting party and they say HRH, that mean Hooray Henrys.
Oh.
All them daft ponies with green wellies and them greasy old green coats, and they couldn't hit a barn door at 50 paces, and a lot of them shoot their own Range Rovers,
I thought it was Prince Charles. Yeah. At least Woodworm, Diesel and Lurcher weren't cursing their luck like everyone else.
They were, Missy.
Oh, were they too?
Well, they've all been sacked, you see.
Oh, Dennis, this is
see,
terrible.
Now all the ploughing and drilling's done and the best part of the beet harvest is in, they've all got the sack.
Oh, Dennis.
Yeah, there won't be no work for them for months and months.
They were miserable too. Everyone miserable and Christmas coming. Oh, Dennis.
Avril and Keith Start, they come in. They was miserable because this hairdressing business
has been
doing so well and no one wants his gardening service and that. And then there was Dave Bliss coming with Sicily.
Yes.
And he was moaning about his Skip Hoyer business. He nearly gone bust here.
What a miserable lot.
And then there was Quentin Stupid Parridge.
Oh, the vicar. The vicar came into the pub as well.
And stopped talking, as soon as he set foot in the bar. He's not light, you know.
Yeah, well, Dennis, why
he's
is it?
He's never settled in.
Why is it he's not light? Why is he never settled in?
Well, he don't like the way we heckle his sermons, you know. Old Wingfield Digby never minded. He could always come back, you see, with a little sharp line or something, you know.
Yes, well, I dare say he had a sad tale to tell too, did he?
He did.
The vicar. Well, what was his tale?
You see, he's been trying for a new parish, you know, quite a long time. Nice little seaside place not far from Albury he's been after.
Really?
Yeah, what he called rather a different type of flock, he'd say. Yeah. Not far from where his mum lives, neither.
What happened? Did he fail to get the new parish?
Well, see, the bishop said he were very sorry, but he'd had to stay at Granty Fen for a few more years.
Oh, dear. Sentence.
Quinton looked like a man was been sent to hell for an extra million years.
Dennis, I don't think I can take much more of this depressing business, all these sad people gathering in the bull to share their sorrows.
You'll never guess who come in next.
Come on, amaze me.
Well, that little bar were real crowded, you know, when they arrived.
Who?
They were shoulder to shoulder in there they were. Well, they come to the door and no one noticed them at first.
Who?
Well, see, there was this fella. He were all dressed in sort of black leather, you know, with these sort of silver studs from head to toe. And his hair, that was in a sort of a pigtail, you know, up on the back of his head. And he got earrings and that.
Some sort of a punk or a Hell's Angel.
Yeah, and he were this girl were with him. And she were all in black leather too, from head to foot, you know. And her face, Miss Ruth, never seen nothing like it. That were all painted dead white, that were. And she had a sort of purple lipstick that were almost black, you know.
The bull, who on earth were they?
Strange. Well, that's what I said to Honey Bright. I said, who's that? Who are them two? I says. Search me, says Honey. But I'll tell you one thing, she say. There'll be three of them in the day to you.
Three?
Yeah, you know, Miss Ruth, we hadn't noticed it till she said that, you know.
What?
Well, the girl with the white face.
The punk girl?
Yeah. She were big.
Big?
Ever so far gone, you know.
Far gone?
Yeah, Miss Youth. She were going to have a baby.
Who was she? I mean, who were they?
Shh. And I'll tell you. See, the fella with his hair in sort of a ponytail, he shout across the bar, you know, and all the people are there. Hi, Mum, he shout. Any more room in here for us?
Who
he got
was
quite a posh voice, you see.
Who was he shouting to?
Antoinette Clayden.
I didn't know she had a son.
No, nor did any of us. We was flabbergasted. Giles, she gasped. Giles, where did you spring from? Happy Christmas, Mum, he say. And I got a little present for you. And he pushed his girl towards her. This is Frankie, he says. And do you know what?
What?
All three of them went into a huddle and they hugged one another, Miss Ruth.
Oh, Dennis.
Know?
So it looks like Antoinette won't be alone this Christmas after all.
Everyone in the bar, they were starting to talk to Giles and Frankie and welcoming them to Granny Fen and buying them drinks. But Frankie said she couldn't drink because of the baby being born so soon, you know.
Right, yeah.
And George said he'd run her down to Antoinette's in his van. And then everyone started offering her lifts. And she said she didn't really want a lift because she'd go back on the pillion of Giles. Doyle's motorbike, you see. And, and then Honey Bright give Frank a kiss on the cheek and says she was a cute chick, you know. And old Innie goes start and sing one of his funny songs, you know. And old George Robertson tried to play the piano. He always make a fool of himself, sort of spilling his beer. Even Quentin broke into a bit of a smile. Oh, there were so many of them in there. All these with the Hoomans and the Rolfs with the bow legs, the Claydons with the knock knees, and the Yanks, and I was laughing and singing fit to bash myself. And I looked at them, and I said to myself, as I was sitting off home after stand called time, we thought, you know, I said, about 30 miserable people come in this pub this evening, and 30 happy people are going home. And that weren't to drink, myself. That weren't to drink. Do you know what? That were each other.
Dennis, I'm sure you're right.
Yeah?
Dennis, would you sing your goodbye song now?
That's all in your life. That's all in your life. Don't go scratching of your poor old head. Don't go worrying, just go back to bed. That's all in your life and you're a long time dead. That's all in your life. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this Grunty Fen podcast. Please spread the word so that more people can enjoy the weird and wonderful world of Dennis of Grunty Fen. And on behalf of all at dennisofgruntyfen.co.uk, I'd like to thank you for supporting us across the year and wish you all the very best of the festive season. So, until next time, that's all in your life. Merry Christmas.